Good afternoon, and welcome to the MassHealth and the Health Connector updates related to COVID-19. Thank you for joining us today. Our presenters today are Kara Chiev from the MassHealth External Training and Communications, along with the Health Connector, Nikki Conti, Associate Director of Public Outreach and Education, and Sarah Bonapani, the Senior Outreach Coordinator and Policy Analyst for the Health Connector. Our MassHealth SME on the line with us today is Denise Foley, the Director of Training and Communications. Now I'd like to turn it over to the presenters.
Thanks so much. This is Nikki Conti from the Health Connector. As Sue mentioned, we're going to have copies of the audio as well as any Q&As that come up. In addition to that, many of these updates have been shared with you over email. However, we thought that it might be best to pull together a presentation. So that presentation is going to be available following the call on the MTF website. So with that, I'm just going to dive right in and talk a little bit about some of the items that we're going to cover. We decided to put this content into the Learning Series presentation. I think many of you know, who have been working with both the Health Connector and MassHealth over the years, there are many topics that overlap between our organizations and our programs, so from time to time, it does make sense for us to co-present on items, and today is one of those days. So on our side, we're going to share a little bit of an operations update, items related to the Health Connector special enrollment period for COVID-19, also some reminders on how to report income changes and some new flexibility. And then helping those newly unemployed and uninsured, we'll talk about Health Connector premium payments, hardship waivers, and appeals. And lastly, we'll talk about, or we'll share some updates on requests for information. Kara, would you like to step through some of the MassHealth items?
Sure. Some of the MassHealth items I will be going through today include how MassHealth will be responding to COVID-19. So updates on the MassHealth Enrollment Centers, walk-ins and visits, MassHealth COVID-19 response, MA Health Connector system update, what is updated and new that you will notice in the online system, MassHealth and Health Connector request for information, and lastly, step you through some tools and resources, giving you a lot of information on where else materials may live related to COVID-19 that you may find useful for yourself as well as sharing them with your clients and our members.
Okay, great. So I'm going to move into some operational changes that we've made at the Health Connector to support public health. So we're really fortunate to be able to say that our call center has maintained regular business hours. We want folks to just understand our wait times might be a little bit longer than usual. I believe at this point, all of our customer service staff is working remotely. That took some time to get that set up and running, but we are fortunate that that's all working appropriately. In terms of receipt and processing of Health Connector-owned supporting documents, so just want to talk about things like IDP and any requests for information proofs that are sent to the Health Connector. We hear that those are being handled within 2 business days from date of receipt, so that should be the turnaround time you can expect right now. And the other point I just want to make is to just remind everyone that the Health Connector walk-in centers are in fact closed during this time. So when we do get to that point that they're reopened, we'll certainly share that information with all of you. We are also encouraging all the sisters that we speak with, anyone we speak with, and any communications that we are sending out to members to use online payment and document upload whenever possible to submit payments and or documentation that they need to send to the Health Connector. So just a reminder, if you're working with a Health Connector member, we still do accept payments by check over through the mail, as well as anyone can make a payment online. And again, when they're making the Health Connector payment, a member will need to have their either a checking or savings account, all of that information with them in order to do that. In terms of submitting documents, they can be submitted just like before through the following channels. Document upload through the individual or assisted portal, that's the recommended format. Folks can also continue to fax documents to the Health Insurance Processing Center, as well as mailing documents to the Health Insurance Processing Center. And then once our walk-in locations are able to reopen to the public, people can go back to dropping items off in person. So now I just want to mention or remind folks that there is a special enrollment period for COVID-19. So many of you should have received communications from us talking about a Health Connector special enrollment period. So basically, anyone who is in the need of health insurance coverage, who does not have it for any reason, they can use COVID-19 as a special enrollment period. We initially, when this guidance came out, our initial deadline was April 26th. We have now extended the deadline for the SEP through May 25th. So we announced that extension so that any uninsured residents can apply, get coverage. In addition to the Health Connector extending and offering the special enrollment period, the Division of Insurance has also extended a similar off-exchange SEP, which could be useful if you're working with any members who are found not to be eligible to shop through the marketplace. So if you're working with a consumer who needs to go or wants to go directly to the carrier, just keep in mind that a similar SEP is open for them. So just a couple of reminders about the Health Connector special enrollment period process. People can submit their applications for coverage online or over the phone. So some people, as they're going through the application, will get an automatic SEP. So for example, those who are newly eligible for Connector Care, if that is not automatically visible, meaning if someone's not able to, they go through the application process and they're not able to shop for a plan and enroll into coverage right away, we're requesting that those members contact customer service to request the SEP due to COVID-19. Also, some finer points on this SEP. This window for enrollment is available to anyone who is determined newly eligible or those previously determined eligible for any Health Connector plan but did not take advantage of their enrollment opportunity before. So, as I mentioned, the extension of this SEP is running through May 25th, and that's helpful. However, you may, in fact, as in the coming weeks and months, continue to see folks who might have a different qualifying event that will open an enrollment window for them for 60 days. So just keep that in mind. With that, I'm actually going to turn the slides over to my colleague, Sarah Bonapane. She's going to step through a couple of other items on the Health Connector side.
Thanks, Nikki. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you again for taking the time to come and hear about the updates. So I'm going to now talk a little bit about reporting income changes. Health Connector is just reminding members and those who work with them that if they experience a job, income, or household change, due to any circumstance, but especially due to the COVID-19 outbreak, to report the changes to ensure that the most affordable coverage is available. Some of the key messages that we've been really pushing out to members are, if you are making less money than usual, you might qualify for a lower cost health insurance plan, which might be really valued or needed at this time. So the guidance we'd like to give you is to enter the member's current income as it is right now and adjust their expected yearly income based on what they think they'll make over the course of the year. I completely understand that's difficult because of the great uncertainty. People may not know when they're going to be able to go back to work. But again, just please try to advise them the best you can to make the best projection of yearly income. That they can, of course, come back and change that as much as they need to or as frequently as they need to. So whatever they put in today for their annual income doesn't have to be what it is for the rest of the year. They can come back next week, next month, 3 months from now, and make those updates. And just to note that members should also review how any changes in their benefits could impact any continuity of care. And here we're really talking about how potential changes in a plan or a plan type, like moving from an unsubsidized plan to a connector care plan, might impact the provider network available to them. So that's just something to keep in mind if you have someone going through those changes and if they need continuity of care, keep that in mind. We were able to make a slight change to our policy. So as many of you know, people would have to submit changes to income or whatever change they had before the 23rd of the month for that to be effective on the first day of the following month. We've been able to create some flexibility around that rule. And so now any currently enrolled member can make a change up until the last day of the month in order for that coverage to be effective the first day of the following month. So that was in place for April coverage. So current members who were members with us in March who made a change up until March 31st were able to see that change in their plan be effective for April. Similarly, we've extended that to May. So anyone who makes a change now until April 30th would see that change effective in May. Again, want to remind everyone this is limited to currently enrolled Health Connector members making eligibility changes that would change their eligibility to a lower cost plan. So, for example, a person not receiving tax credits in an unsubsidized plan who starts receiving them based on their reported change could receive those for May 1st, or a Connector Care member who may be a Plan 3B who moves into a Plan 2A would see that change for May 1st if they made that change, say, on April 25th. If a member has to pay the first month's premium to what we call effectuate or start their coverage, the flexibility does not apply to them. So any new enrollment or person enrolling into a new plan has to do that by the 23rd. Also want to note the flexibility is not available for members who are moving from an unsubsidized plan into a connector care plan with a different carrier. So if you have an individual who's already with, say, Tufts Direct unsubsidized and is moving into Tufts Direct into a connector care plan, that flexibility would apply. But if they want to switch, say, from Always Health, or actually Always Health Partners is a connector care carrier, I'm sorry, let's say Harvard Pilgrim Health Plan to Always Health Partners, they would have to do so by the 23rd. I do just want to also note that individuals who are APTC-only members that report income decreases that result in connector care eligibility but have to select a carrier that participates in connector care, so a similar but APTC-only situation, they would get the enhanced APTC for May 1st, but not the connector care access until June 1st. So this would be helpful to them because, as you know, connector care is made up of those advanced premium tax credits or APTC, but also additional state subsidy and cost-sharing reductions that the state adds in. They would get that additional lower premium and additional APTC, so they would still get some benefit here, and they would just have to wait one additional month to access the full connector care benefit. Now I am going to move on to talk about consumers who are newly unemployed. So as I'm sure many of you are aware, unemployed individuals have access to Health Connector plans as an alternative to a COBRA plan if they are, in fact, offered COBRA. So, you know, if an individual has lost their job and had employer-sponsored health insurance and has access to purchase that COBRA plan, but maybe finds it unaffordable right now or is looking for an alternative, we want to remind you and remind them, individuals in this situation, that the Health Connector is an alternative for them. As you know, many people who apply are able to get a lower monthly cost through those advanced premium tax credits. Some even qualify for $0 monthly payment. So, you know, we want to get that message out there to remind people there's an alternative and maybe a lower cost one available to them. As Nikki mentioned earlier, of course, the Health Connector has an SEP right now that's available through May 25th. But anyone who recently has lost a job or anyone who loses a job has 60 days from the date of losing their coverage to apply and enroll through the Health Connector. So that 60 days could actually exceed that May 25th deadline. So if you're working with someone beyond May 25th and you're thinking that the SEP closed, remember they possibly could access coverage through us because they have an SEP that lasts 60 days. So I do, when you do receive the slides that are posted, we have some, I think, very helpful fact sheets on our website that help describe the difference between COBRA and Health Connector coverage and some of the things that people might think about when making that decision. So that content is available on our webpage. It's a pretty long URL. We have it available in English and in Spanish. So please do, when you're reviewing the slides, note those webpage links and go to them. Email those documents or links out to individuals who contact you who are contemplating this to help guide them in their decision-making process. I'm going to move now to talk a bit about premium payments. I'd like to let everyone know that the Health Connector is delaying any terminations for the month of April for any enrolled members that is Connector Care, APTC only, or unsub members who have fallen into a delinquent status, which means that they fail to pay or fail to pay in full their April premium. So we are not immediately terminating those members. I'd like to point out, you know, one thing that we are doing, which is a premium deferral program. This is a brand new thing for us. We've not done something like this in the past. But anyone who, again, has fallen delinquent, has not made their April premium payment, would receive an insert in their May invoice. So they may have already just received this as the May invoices have gone out or going out as we speak. And it will describe some of their options. One is the ability to opt into a premium deferral program. And just want to note, the premium deferral program is something that they need to fill out online. They can do so by, they will need access to their account information, and they need to do so by Friday, April 17th, so a week from today. Again, this deferral program is limited to Health Connector members who are in this delinquent status. It's not available to all members. So if a member is paid through April, right now the deferral program is not available to them. However, there are other options here. So the insert does also, you know, discuss some other options for them. And the premium deferral program also would discuss their opportunity to update their income, which would potentially get them into a lower cost or a $0 plan and negate the need for them to do a deferral. And this is really for people who are unable to pay now but could repay under an extended repayment plan. But another option is they can request a Health Connector hardship waiver. So the Health Connector already does have in place a hardship waiver process, again, that is existing and different and distinct from a premium deferral process. And a hardship waiver would reduce or exempt somebody from paying premiums altogether. So a deferral, again, would be repaying them over an extended period of time or later, whereas a hardship could eliminate the premium for them or reduce the premium for them. We do have a policy on our website that goes over the criteria that somebody would need to be experiencing in order to be granted a waiver. This is, again, we have a link on these slides when you review them. It's our non-group policy 17, waiver reduction of premium. You can go to our website right now, click on the policy center, and find this to review all the criteria. But again, it's not a difficult process, and it's definitely something we would be encouraging individuals to do. And this would, again, be for someone who is experiencing the inability to pay their full premium but potentially has already updated their income and still has a premium as a result of that and is experiencing, again, some sort of additional hardship that could qualify them for this program. Next, I'd like to just briefly touch on our appeals process. to remind everyone that the fastest way to appeal a decision with the Health Connector during this time would be online or through our website. Members can log into their account and file an appeal online. That process has always existed for us. Again, members should make sure they're updating their income with any income changes or circumstances before they file an appeal. The out-appeal fee continues to retrieve the mail from the post office, but just want to note that if the post office were to close, that could impede our ability to receive mailed appeals. So anytime you can assist or encourage somebody to access their online account so that they can file an appeal online, please do so. And you can also direct them to the customer service team who can assist them in completing an appeal form as well. So if somebody is really finding a hardship in accessing their online account, help them to call customer service who can help them with the appeal on their behalf. So at this point, I am finished with the Health Connector updates, and I'm going to turn it over to MassHealth for their updates.
Thank you, Sarah. And thank you for taking the time to join us today on this call. So today I will be focusing on providing content of MassHealth COVID-19 response related to our applicants and in members. So first off, I'll let you know to support the health and safety of our members and staff during COVID-19 emergency, all MassHealth enrollment centers, the MECs, will be closed for walk-in visitors until the emergency is declared over. As a reminder, applicants and members that are under the age of 65 and if the criteria applies, can apply or update their information by going online to mahealthconnector.org and complete the ACA3 or the Massachusetts Application for Health and Dental Coverage and Health Paying Costs. This is the fastest and easiest way to apply. The website is mobile friendly and have been updated to include and support document uploads, making it easier to submit outstanding verifications. Other avenues to apply is to submit the paper application by mail or fax or call us. However, please know we are experiencing extremely high call volumes right now. Our members are on hold much longer than we'd like. So we urge you and our members to try other avenues such as the online tools before calling us.
Lastly, applicants and members can seek assistance from certified assisters. To find one closest to you, you can go to mahealthconnector.org. There's a lot of tools available to locate an assister. Please make sure to call an assister first to seek an appointment as they may be working remotely now and are not taking walk-ins.
Moving on for those members and applicants over the age of 65, and if criteria apply, they can complete a SOCA application. So if they can do that by completing our fillable PDF that's found on the MassHealth website. A link will be provided to you in the slide. They can mail or fax the completed application. They can also seek help from an assister. As mentioned earlier, if they're seeking assistance from a certified application counselor, please make sure that they call the assister first and make an appointment. For individuals over the age of 65, we are processing the SOCA application in the order they are received. If there is a need for urgent medical needs, please mention this so the application can be flagged. So if the applicant or member was urgent medical needs due to COVID-19, they should notate that on top of the application so that can be flagged for our staff to process them immediately. Right now, there is no avenue to complete this application online or via phone or email. We're currently working on this, so as soon as we have more information, we will share. Now, moving to our response, MassHealth will preserve coverage for all individuals who had MassHealth, Health Safety Net, or Children's Medical Security Plan on March 18, 2020, and for all individuals approved for coverage during the COVID-19 national emergency and through the end of the month in which the national emergency period ends. The coverage will only end if an individual voluntarily withdraws their coverage, if they no longer live in Massachusetts, so they're not a Massachusetts resident, or if they are deceased. Members will not lose coverage or have a decrease in benefits for any other reasons. For individuals who have received notices that their coverage is ending after March 18th, no change in coverage will occur. These individuals do not have to send any paperwork to keep their coverage. We will take steps to ensure their coverage does not terminate. So for individuals that don't already have coverage and are seeking coverage, we encourage them to apply by completing that online application for MassHealth or the Health Connector. And as you heard earlier, the Health Connector has extended open enrollment to all uninsured residents. Now, for members and applicants who are able to go online to mahealthconnector.org and have an online account, we have updated the eligibility results page. So there is a banner message that will display, regardless if the member have a change in their benefits. The message reads, important message, the screen may not reflect the coverage protection in effect for all individuals who have MassHealth, Health Safety Net, and the Children's Medical Security Plan coverage as of March 18, 2020, and for all individuals approved for coverage during the COVID-19 outbreak national emergency, and for 1 month after the emergency period ends. Coverage will only end if an individual requests termination of eligibility or if they are no longer residents of the state or if they are deceased. The system will update nightly to retain a member in their previous coverage type if the member reported a change and the change resulted in a decrease in benefit or termination of benefit. Members should go back to their online account to review their benefit in the eligibility summary page. So moving on, here on slide 23, you will see self-attestation information. MassHealth will accept self-attestation during the COVID-19 outbreak national emergency and through the end of the month in which such national emergency period ends for verifications of residency, income, pregnancy, HIV status, access to health insurance, disability, assets, breast and cervical cancer diagnosis and or treatment, and relationship. MassHealth cannot accept self-attestation during the COVID-19 national emergency through the end of the month in which such emergency period ends for verifications of citizenship and immigration status. So for individuals that do not have a proof of ID or income with them or are unable to submit it, they can submit a self-attestation to MassHealth during the COVID-19 national emergency and through the end of the month in which such emergency period ends. The next couple of slides, I'm going to go through some frequently asked questions. I want to mention that a larger FAQ for members is available on the MassHealth COVID-19 for applicants and members webpage, and that's off of the MassHealth webpage. And I encourage you to review those and let our members that you work with know of these resources that's available to them. Know that a link to the webpages will be provided in the deck. So the first question is, how can MassHealth members verify their MassHealth coverage? MassHealth members can quickly and easily confirm coverage by using the MassHealth self-service option off of the 1-800-841-2900 main phone line. They should press 1, and they should press option 1 and press 1 following to access self-service. Self-service is available 24/7 in English and Spanish. So through self-service, MassHealth members can verify their MassHealth coverage or their health plan coverage, request an application, confirm transportation benefits, or get premium billing information. The next question is, I recently lost my job. How can I apply for health coverage or update my information? As I mentioned, we encourage MassHealth and Health Connector members and consumers to report any change of circumstances, including reduction in income, as soon as possible. Members can update their information using the mahealthconnector.org online account. You can review the steps for how to do that. There is a link provided on this slide, as they may be newly eligible for MassHealth or eligible for a different benefit level. To quickly apply or check on eligibility for MassHealth, applicants can go online back to mahealthconnector.org, create an account if they don't already have one, and complete the application. So to learn more, there is the Getting Started Guide off of the mahealthconnector.org website, a great tool for everybody. The next question is, will people who report changes that will increase their benefits have the changes processed during the emergency moratorium? So for MassHealth, we will process changes for members eligible for increase in benefits. For the Health Connector, as described on slide 10, the Health Connector has an accelerated change process for April and May coverage. Moving to the next question, I need to verify my income. How can I submit verification? Members can submit documents by uploading verification documents via the members' online account. There will be a new tab at the top of the page called My Documents. If you're not familiar with that page and haven't gone into the account lately, where the individuals and assisters can upload documents for RFIs and submit other required forms directly to MassHealth and the Health Connector. I have provided a screenshot of where of what that document upload looks like on the member portal for you. And the last question is, how can we submit an application for a patient signed by the CAC if the patient does not have an email address and our access to email?
A reminder to our certified assister community, we provided guidance on how our assisters can support members during the COVID-19 national emergency. Please do go back to review that guidance that was sent on March 30th, which provided a lot of tools and resources on how you can help support MassHealth applicants and members.
So that concludes the FAQ portion. As mentioned earlier, please visit the MassHealth COVID-19 web pages to find additional questions with responses members may be asking you, and they may be helpful for them. Moving on, wanted to point out the MassHealth and Health Connector request for information. So individuals may still receive RFI notices when they apply, renew their application, or report a change. During the COVID-19 national emergency, MassHealth and the Health Connector will not terminate or decrease an individual's coverage based on their failure to respond to an RFI. Individuals are still encouraged to submit their proof to MassHealth or the Health Connector as soon as they can. Documents can be submitted through the following ways, and nothing has changed in that process, these processes. So through document upload, through the individual portal, through faxing the documents to the Health Insurance Processing Center, or mailing documents to the Health Insurance Processing Center. Please note, in-person drop-off of any documents is suspended at this time. In-person drop-off will resume when MassHealth enrollment centers and the Health Connector walk-in locations are able to reopen to the public. And lastly, a couple of more slides that will include tools and resources. It's provided so that you can share with members or clients you're working with. I also wanted to add, we did receive a lot of questions related to billing and policy. I didn't address them here in this meeting, but I've provided at the end of the deck information that will assist you with your questions. It can be found related to billing and policy questions. The last slide describes where providers are encouraged to send any questions you have after you have read the various materials published on our website. There is an email box provided to you. The resources for MassHealth COVID-19, we stood up a web page, a new set of web pages for both members and providers. Here you'll find the web link to resources and information related to COVID-19 for MassHealth applicants, members, and providers. On the applicants and member page, you will find information for members on coverage for testing and treatment for all coverage types and health plans, coverage for telehealth services, information about pharmacy. There, as I mentioned earlier, there's a number of FAQs related to applicants and members, and a lot more as far as resources and tools. So moving to the next couple of resources I've highlighted in the deck, resources that are related to really the state website. So COVID-19 updates and information is the state website that provides everything you need to know about COVID-19. Contents include daily updates, what do you do, information about COVID-19, regulations and guidance, get help, help out, and affected government services. So there are a lot of available information online for you. Another resource about COVID-19 as part of the information on that larger website are resources to find downloadable principal fact sheets in various languages like coping strategies, what to do if you're sick, as well as a visual communication tool. Another resource I want to share with you is this is a new resource that Massachusetts launched for residents where residents can use to assess symptoms and find the right care. boy.com/mass is a tool. It is not to be used in place of emergency medical care. If this is an emergency, do call 911 or visit the nearest emergency room. This is a free assessment tool, so I encourage you to review this tool and share the information. Additional tool, another on slide 38, here's additional tools where I've provided a link to telephone and internet connectivity for telehealth. Here the information is intended to be a resource to help providers guide members who have questions about engaging in services through telehealth. Both federal and state guidance support increased free and low-cost telephone and internet services during the COVID-19 crisis. So a lot of information for our members that you may be working with. Lastly, the next two slides are really for our provider community. Those questions that came in that related to payments, procedure codes, and telehealth, you may be able to find the answers here through the MassHealth COVID-19 provider web pages, as those questions relate to published guidance in the provider bulletin. And the last slide I have, and lastly, is another resource for provider inquiries. On this slide is an email box to the MassHealth customer service that can help address provider-specific questions and concerns. Should you have detailed questions, I encourage you to send your questions to this email box, as well as encourage you to register for the MassHealth Provider Services April MTS virtual meeting, in which they will be reviewing additional flexibilities for coverage and billing related to COVID-19. The webinars will provide important billing and operational updates as well as resources. The meeting schedules are April 21st at 2 through 3:30 p.m. and another one on April 23rd from 10 to 11:30. And registration information can be found on the MTF website under the Meeting Information tab. If you have not had a chance to register, I encourage you to register for that meeting. I went to go through just a couple of more questions that we had received early on. So will there be any wavering of asset limits or income limits for the over 65 programs? At this time, there is no change. Will there be any lenience on dates in regards to bank statements, bank letter, assets being within 45 days due to some seniors being unable to get to the bank or post office in a timely manner, plus limited hours and services at these businesses? Our regulation guidelines are 45 days. We understand this may be difficult for some members. They should contact their case managers if they believe there will be a delay. They can provide further guidance to support the member. Another question that came in was, for homeless individuals who are currently inpatient and have no proof of ID or income with them, can they get temporary MassHealth coverage during the pandemic so they can be discharged with health coverage to cover doctors and medications? Hospital facilities, we do have the HP, that's the Hospital Determined Presumptive Eligibility Program, available. HP CACS can support the and complete an HP application in these situations and at hospital locations. MassHealth has further explained expanded HPE to provide all currently eligible individuals an HPE benefit even if they have had MassHealth or HPE in the previous 12 months. MassHealth will continue to update its guidance on HPE as the situation evolves. Another question, for families that are undocumented or that don't have health insurance and they contract the virus, are they able to obtain treatment without paying? We encourage applicants seeking health care coverage to apply. The easiest, as you've heard me mention, is going online to mahealthconnector.org, and depending on the circumstances, use that application portal or the SACA application for the over 65. If the individual needs urgent care, urgent and meet medical needs due to COVID-19, please indicate that on the application. Another question, lastly, this question is, can the MassHealth application process and documentation be completed 100% on a smartphone or tablet? Will residents and ID proof using photo documents taken with the phone be accepted? Can photos of affidavits be accepted? Individuals under the age of 65 and if other criteria apply, can go online to mahealthconnector.org to complete an application. The application is compatible with mobile devices. Applicants and members will be able to apply and access information when using mobile devices such as a phone or a tablet. Note, this is not an app. Individuals still need to access the website, mahealthconnector.org, on their mobile internet browser. They can upload documents, as you heard me mention earlier, directly to a member's online application. There will be a new tab called My Documents where individuals and assisters can upload documents to satisfy RFIs and submit other required forms directly to MassHealth and the Health Connector. For those applicants and members completing the SACA, as I mentioned, we do have a fillable PDF on our MassHealth website.
I want to thank everybody for joining us today. Special thanks to Kara, Nikki, Sarah. Be safe and well, everybody. Goodbye.